striving for first place. Going back to Stephen, that was how he lived his life. Stephen was not, might be a Christian today. Well, we'll see how I feel. Kind of like how I get up in the morning, like, oh, do I really want to go to the gym today? The answer is always no. But that's not how Stephen lived his life. And that's not how a Christian who is striving to live for God needs to live their life. When they wake up, it's, I'm living for God today. This is not even a question. This is an absolute fact. Christians should view how they are living their life like an Olympic athlete who is competing in a race. That is honestly how focused we need to be in our Christian walk. Now, I can sense some people are probably already pushing back and saying, now, Pastor, I'm no Olympic athlete. Hey, neither am I. But we're not talking about physical activity. We're not talking about physical exertion. We are talking about submitting ourselves to the things of God. Now, that is something anyone can do if they allow themselves to be used of God in that way. So a professional athlete, he competed with other athletes, but then only one person would be declared the winner. This isn't, you don't get a participation trophy. There's no such thing as a participation trophy. There's not. Just making that very clear. There's not. Now this, of course, would naturally raise the question, so if there's only one winner, is Paul saying, and is he suggesting that only the winner of the spiritual race, will they be the only one that gets to enter heaven and nobody else? No, of course not. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul, he's trying to communicate the necessity of having a mindset of giving the Christian life 100% of your effort all the time. That's what he's trying to get them to understand. Like, this isn't about who gets to be first. This isn't a whole who's on first, you know, the Abbott Costello Act. This is, no, live your life like you are actually trying to be first place. You're not actually competing against anyone. You're actually all working together. You're all pushing towards the same goal, but you need to have this mindset of, if I don't give my absolute best, then I am failing, and then I am not worthy of the reward. The goal to which we are striving for, the race that we are running, is to obtain perfect holiness, sinless perfection. Now, hold on. Are you ever going to obtain that? Not in this flesh, not in this life, but that is what we need to be striving for. That is the goal we need to set for ourselves. Yes, we will never reach that goal, but that's not the point. If you set the bar this high, then you are going to do your absolute best, and you may only make it this high. But if you only set the bar right here, yeah, you may only make it this high. So the point is to set the bar super high and strive your best to get to that point, because then you're living your life the absolute best that you can for the Lord. The prize that we shall obtain is not a temporal prize. It's an eternal prize, the crown of holiness. Paul is telling the Corinthian believers that they need to approach the Christian life with that same mindset of a professional athlete. And so Christians, we too should approach life in a very similar mindset. Paul is saying that just like how the athlete trains and gives all that he has in a race where he might win a prize. You hear that? He only might win. There's no guarantee. The Christian should essentially be doing the same thing, because our prize is attainable by all, and it is eternal. The prize of the athlete is eventually going to perish. It's made of earthly material things. We, on the other hand, will have attained our eternal prize when we reach heaven. The question is, did you earn it? Now, this isn't a whole you have to earn your way into heaven kind of thing. The idea I'm trying to communicate is, would you feel worthy of receiving the medal that you get? So let's do this. I didn't have a trophy, so we're going to have to settle with this really cool looking ribbon. Don't look at it. It says second place. That's not the point. Imagine this is a first place trophy for the most prized athletic event in the world. Now, let me see here. Who can I pick on? How about Brother Julian? Would you mind? Would you come up here real quick? He's got thick skin, so I know he can handle it. Now, Julian had no idea that he got entered into this race. And you know what? Just because I like you, Julian, here you go. That's yours. Now,
second place.
Yeah, don't look at that. So my question for you now is, how special is that ribbon to you?
Not very.
Why?
I feel like I did nothing for it.
Yeah, it's just, okay, cool, I got a cool ribbon. He didn't actually put in the effort to win it. And so, thank you, you can go sit down. And so the whole point is, when you get to heaven and you've completed your spiritual race, you are going to receive eternal life. You are going to receive your prize for going to heaven. But how special is it going to feel when you get up there and you're like, God, I just coasted. I didn't really try to live the Christian life. I didn't really put in much effort. I just knew I was saved and thought that was good enough. Versus, you get up there, you receive your prize, and you're just like, this is what I've been working for. This is what I put in all that time and energy and effort into. I finally obtained the prize that I have been striving for. Now, hopefully you're not going to heaven trying to get a prize. Again, I'm just trying to establish a mindset here. We need to be living our life in such a way that we are giving 100% effort all the time so that when we get to heaven, we can say, Lord, I gave you my best. Instead of getting up there and saying, Lord, I gave you just whatever I felt like at the time. There's a huge difference there. An Olympian is not going to win a medal by chance. You don't get to be an Olympian just by working out once a week. You have to work out a lot. There's a whole lot of things that they do. An Olympian, he cannot expect to get anything unless he can somehow distinguish himself above the rest. In other words, he has to earn it. How did he do that? Well, a man who desired to compete successfully, he disciplined himself in every aspect of life. An Olympic athlete usually monitors every single part of their life. They take specific interest in what they eat, how much they eat, when they eat it. They have set times during the day when they train. They have very specific training routines that they follow and will not deviate from. Every moment of every day is spent with only one idea in mind, and that is earning that gold medal. That is their singular focus. What does this look like in our life today as believers purposing to glorify God with our lives? What does this look like for you? What does this look like for me? First of all, you must give yourself wholly to God. You must be singularly focused on living for the Lord and make this the grand business of your life. Secondly, we can take a note from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and lay aside every weight and renounce all sin and improper attachments. If you have any sin in your life that you know about and you're not doing anything about it, you are allowing that sin to hold you down. It's like trying to do pull-ups wearing a weighted vest. You're not going to be able to do as many if you just took off the vest. It's like trying to run a race and you're putting 10-pound ankle weights on and then trying to run. You're not going to run as fast as if you had those weights off. So lay aside every weight. Lay aside every sin that is in your life. Seek God's repentance. Seek his help getting over that sin. Get rid of it out of your life. And then do not allow yourself to be diverted from the path, but keep the goal constantly in view. Distractions. They are, ooh, something shiny. They come out of nowhere sometimes. Distractions. We can be set on living for God. You can be set, I'm going to read my Bible, and because I get tired sometimes, I'm going to listen to it on audio. And so you find this audio player and you hit play and you're going along, and as the voice is droning and you start thinking about what you're going to be doing that day, it's still going, but you're no longer paying attention. Or maybe you're thinking like, okay, I'm going to really get in my Bible and study out this subject. I want to know what the Bible has to say about fear. And so I'm going to do a deep study on that. But then, you know what? You start looking outside and realize I haven't mowed in 3 months. Wow, that yard looks scary. There might be a velociraptor out there. You got to stay out of the tall grass kind of scenario. So you got to get out there with your weed eater and your lawnmower and start, and all of a sudden you've been distracted. You started off on the right page. You started off on the right path, but then you got distracted. So don't allow yourself to be diverted from the path. And then also, you're going to need perseverance. Lots of it. And of course, you need to deny yourself daily. Take up your cross and follow him. That is how you get to be the spiritual athlete. You just got to lay aside anything that's holding you back, keep your eyes focused on Jesus, and make him your singular goal, and live your life with him in view. You got to deny your flesh. You got to crucify that flesh and live for Christ. You have to make your personal spiritual development your number one priority. And if you can do that, the rest will naturally fall in line. An athlete's full-time job is preparing for the race. Yours is for proclaiming the gospel, for sharing the gospel with the lost world. Their prize, the athletes, their prize is temporary, whereas your prize is forever. It is highly that much more valuable. And that is why Paul contrasted the temporary nature of the athlete's prize with the eternal nature of the Corinthians, the believer's prize. Now, the Olympic athlete, they generally compete for a gold medal, but the Christian's prize holds eternal value. So Paul, the whole idea he's trying to get across here is that he compared the Christian life to the life of a professional athlete in order to illustrate the level of intensity that should be present in a believer's life. That's the whole reason Paul is drawing our focus to that of a professional athlete, saying, listen, forgot, I don't have my lapel. You need to have the same level of intensity that this athlete has, but directed to your spiritual life. God did not save you just so you could feel good about your eternal security and live life however you want to. Absolutely not. That is not why God saved you. He saved you for a purpose, and that purpose that purpose is to do his business. Can a man be truly in earnest in his professed religion? Can he be a sincere Christian who is not willing to abandon anything and everything that will tend to impair the rigor of his mind and weaken his body and make him a stumbling block to others? That's how one commentator put it. The Christian's prize is not determined by where you place, but by how hard you try. That is where we value our prize. Where you place, if you're a believer, that's in heaven. That's where you place. Good job. But really, your prize is going to be determined by how hard you tried on your journey to get there. Paul revealed the reason behind his disciplined and sacrificial lifestyle in verses 26 and 27. Paul, he said he controlled his desires and his appetites. The verse says that he kept under his body. This phrase, he depicts a boxer, or what's the fancy term, pugilist, I think. He depicts a pugilist hitting his opponent under the eye. He keeps his body under subjection. It implies that it is a disabling punch. It carries the idea of Paul fighting his flesh and dominating it in the same way a boxer would dominate his opponent. Not giving his opponent a chance to strike back, but keeping his guard up, keeping his body under subjection, and then striking deliberate, intentional, and impactful blows. When Paul said that he brings his body into subjection, he used the phrase that literally means to be a slave driver. Talk about self-discipline. He's basically said, okay, body, okay, self, you're my slave. You got to do what I tell you to do, and you don't have a choice in the matter. Talk about intense. We need to have, honestly, this kind of intensity when we approach our walk with God, because let's face it, our flesh is not weak. Our flesh is strong against us. Was it David? I believe it was. He said, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. He was talking about he wants to do it, but he in his flesh doesn't have the ability. When I'm saying your flesh is not weak, I'm saying the old man, the man who should have died when you got saved, he's still roaring inside of you. He's still trying to get out. He's still trying to be the one in control. And let's face it, the desires of our flesh, they can be strong at times. But you know what's stronger? He that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the Holy Spirit. So you have that power. You have that ability to say, nah, self, I don't think so. You're the slave. I'm the master. And self, you're going to do what I tell you to do, not the other way around. That's the idea Paul was trying to communicate. He was that serious when it came to how he lived his life. What about you? Are you that serious when it comes to your walk with Christ? How seriously do you take your walk with the Lord? Is it something you take that seriously? Or does that sound a little extreme? That kind of sounds like God wants me to be like super religious. God wants me to be like on fire for him. That's weird. Man. Talking about what the teens singing there at Silverwood. You get a bunch of teenagers, pack them into a room, have them start singing a song. Oh, that'll give you glory bumps. You know those little things that make your skin rise up? That's amazing. Then imagine what a group of teens on fire for God can do. They could turn this world upside down or right side up, depending how you want to look at it. They're the future. Y'all are the future. Is that a scary thought, teens? Is that a scary thought thinking y'all are the future of this church? No? You're like, we got this. Confidence, I like it. You got to be super serious when it comes to your walk with God. It's very counterculture these days to practice self-control. You mean I have to deny myself? Especially on the level that Paul did. So what appetites do you need to bring under subjection? How are you choosing to feed your flesh? Are you choosing to entertain inappropriate thoughts? Are you choosing to waste your time on video games and YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and whatever new platforms there are out there? Are you choosing to be lazy in how you approach life? Are you choosing to not do your best work because you're waiting until the very last minute? That's me sometimes. I can procrastinate like the best of them. If you truly want to be used of God, your life is going to have to reflect that of a spiritual Olympic athlete. You want God to use you? Well, you got to be willing to put in the work. You got to be willing to be used of God, because let's face it, God's not going to use you if you're lazy, spiritually speaking. You will have to give God everything you have. God's not interested in only a piece of you. God wants all of you. Paul feared God's disapproval of him, despite the fact of Paul's faithful ministry. The Apostle Paul, he was afraid to be found a failure in God's eyes. Paul did not want to be rejected. He did not want to be counted worthless and unapproved of by God. This had absolutely nothing to do with his salvation, but it had everything to do with his reward in heaven. Now, later on in his life, Paul was joyfully able to announce, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul was able to give that testimony because he was this diligent in living for God. He gave God everything he had all the time. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Paul tells us many times that which I would do, I don't, and that's what I always get those mixed up. Basically, I want to live for God, but I mess it up. And the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't. So Paul was not perfect, but at the same time, he knew once he failed, whenever he would fall down on his face, he would just get right back up, say, Lord, forgive me, that was dumb, and start back over and live for God. So do not let this be your testimony. Don't let this be on your gravestone. Failing shamefully of the prize myself, after I have called others to the contest, rejected by God, the judge of the Christian race, notwithstanding my having, by my preaching, led others to be accepted. Don't be the guy or gal who can lead other people to Christ, but then you yourself become a castaway. Just set up on the shelf, no longer useful for the kingdom's purpose. Don't let that be you, because that's what happens when you don't give God everything. Paul wanted to inspire the Corinthian believers to use every ounce of energy towards the furtherance of the gospel. The best way for this to be accomplished was by each believer personally developing their walk with Christ with the intensity of an Olympian. So who's ready to go to boot camp? Who's ready to become a spiritual Olympian? Any takers tonight? All right. Got a few brave souls out there. Amen. I'm going to conclude the message here tonight by this poem. I think it does an excellent job encapsulating the principles found in this text and then applying them to life. This poem is by Dwight Williams. So run that thou shalt gain the regal prize, which Jesus holds alluring from the skies. Look up, for clouds of witnesses attend, and from the battlements of life they bend. In eagerness they watch with glad applause, as near the goal thy steady footstep draws. Not till the shout is heard and the garlands fall from angel hands hard by the jeweled wall. Canst thou relax thy speed or turn thine eye, and strife and struggle yield to victory? Beside thy path a thousand hands will hold their cups of pleasure and their bribes of gold. And strange, enchanting scenes thine eye will greet to tempt away from duty's path thy feet. Thy danger know forevermore the price of all life's grand success is sacrifice. Curb all the restless forces of the soul. Give Christ the heart and let his hand control. For self o'ermastered by the grace of him shall bring thee to the seat of seraphim. Be like thy Lord. He scorned the path of ease and shook himself of soft indulgences. From Bethlehem returning to his throne, he trod the victor's path with grief unknown. And through the shame of Nazareth he went, or days of hunger in the desert spent. He, sorrowing, bowed at dark Gethsemane. His rugged cross he bore on Calvary. And from his rest in Joseph's tomb he rose, forevermore triumphant o'er his foes. Christ holds thy crown. His eye is on thee now, and he will put his star upon thy brow. Run, Christian, run. The gate is open wide where he went in, thy Savior crucified. So, Christians, tonight, I'm challenging you to run. Run your race. Give it your all. Hold nothing back. And I guarantee you, the prize waiting for you is going to be just that much more sweeter if you actually work hard and try to earn it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for this message here with Paul and the Corinthian church. Lord, it's a great reminder that the Christian life we tend to take for granted. Lord, we're bought by the blood of Christ. We're saved. We're going to be with you in heaven one day, and we thank you so much, God, for that. We can never be thankful enough. But like I was saying, Lord, we tend to take that for granted, and we fail to fully put forth the effort that we ought to live for you. Lord, we take for granted all the blessings you've given to us. We don't fully appreciate what all you did on the cross. And so, Lord, help us when we forget that. Forgive us, Lord, for not being the Christians we ought to be. Help us, Lord, to strive for that prize. And help us, Lord, to live for you and give you everything we've got. Help us to do that here just this week, Lord, and then from the weeks going forward and for the rest of our lives that you have us here, let us live for you and give you our all. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.